Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Rhino Nation Radio, sponsored by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. Rhino Nation is a growing community of incredible entrepreneurs and small business owners that share a common trait. They don't walk, they don't run, they charge to their destiny. And from the mind-blowing talents of Generation Next to the treasure trove of seasoned business minds, we acknowledge and celebrate their business expertise, leadership, and fearless attitude to be victorious in their goals. Rhino Nation is committed to making powerful connections and providing enhanced exposure to broaden the reach and promote the extraordinary talents of our community members. I'm Michelle Faust, along with my slightly late co-host, Jacob Fan, who will be here momentarily. He is the founder and creative genius behind Fantastic Media. And with great pleasure, I want to introduce our two guests today. I have Connie Kadansky from Exceptional Sales Performance and Wendy Sanders, Regional VP of ACN. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
I so appreciate you being here, both of you.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Good, good. Well, I think we're going to have a great show. And the first thing I usually do, I don't think I gave you a little advance warning, so I'm sorry if I'm putting you on the hot seat, but I do like to allow each of my guests a few minutes to just kind of introduce yourself and what you do in your own words. And then we can kind of go from there in our conversation. So, Connie, can I ask you to go first?
Sure. Yes, I'm Connie Kadansky with Exceptional Sales Performance, and I help people overcome sales call reluctance, which is the emotional hesitation to prospect and self-promote. So using the telephone is just one, and looking at ways that we initiate contact with our potential buyer through referrals and all the different areas that we must initiate contact, because I believe that 70% of the sale is engagement and discovering the need of the prospect. So once we engage with someone, we are on our way to finding out if we can truly solve their problems. So that's what I've been doing for 20 years, and I've been around the world in helping people become more prosperous.
Well, I'm really excited to have you on, Connie, because as we were talking a little bit earlier, I've been in sales for 30-some years, and I still struggle with it. So my hat's off to you to really have gotten kind of past that point of where you can be very successful in that process, because I believe it's not just business, but we sell ourselves, our ideas to our families and our friends, to those around us. So I think the sales process is really for everyone in pretty much most of their lives. Would you agree?
Yes, it is. And my tagline is I help people get their ask in gear. And on my way over here, I'm not familiar with the freeways, and I got off the freeway and there was a truck behind me, and I motioned to him. I basically asked him to let me in, and he gave me a thumbs up and let me in, right? And so it's really about asking for what we want and need. And wow, the doors just fly open when we're willing and courageous enough to ask.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, Wendy, so I'm excited to have you here because for many reasons, but for your energy alone, I'm just so happy to have you as part of our studio today. And but give me I know your background. Let's give our listeners a little bit of background on what you do.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Michelle. And first and foremost, thank you so much for the invitation to be on the show today. I'm really grateful, and really grateful that your and I's paths have crossed. I'm right back at you with great energy, you know, like attracts like, I guess. What I do is I am a regional vice president for a global direct sales company, and we are the world's largest direct seller of telecommunications, energy, and other essential services. The company is called ACN, and I've been with them for 10 years, and the company is really a vehicle for people to create a residual income stream, which, you know, most people don't have. My background is real estate. I was in real estate in Arizona for 20 years and have been building this business for 10. And not only has it been incredible to just kind of change lifestyle of, there's a big difference in linear income and residual income, and that's a whole nother conversation. But really, it's the environment that I've been able to put myself into that has not only allowed me to grow as a person, but also help other people. And I'm just excited because, kind of like what Connie was talking about, and you have to be courageous and you have to ask. I think so many people out there have things that they want to do, things that they've dreamt about doing. Maybe some of those dreams are now under the rug thinking, oh, it's too late for me. And so what I do is really give people what a lot of millennials will say, it's a side hustle. I think it's a sophisticated side hustle that maybe for some people turns into a full-time deal like it did for myself, and really able to transform people's lives, not just through the way that they make money, but the environment that they're in, being able to be in, you know, personal development and growth and really step into our greatness as people, because we've all got it inside of us. But for some people, it's been buried. So that's what I do. I really coach people in business, my business specifically, but that folds into other things. And so I'm excited to be on here today to share my story and things that I've learned over the years.
Well, it sounds like both of you have a tremendous amount to offer. So this is going to be great. Fun. So I also want to welcome Jacob, who, because of mostly traffic, I'm going to assume, because, yes. Oh yeah. My gosh, yeah. It was awful coming in here.
Yeah, it was.
So, and I'm not sure how much we're going to hear from Jacob today because he's got some allergies.
I'll do my best, but as you can hear my voice, it's pretty rough. Yeah,
well,
rough.
it is that time of year, but I'm so glad you made it. So thanks, Jacob. So, wow, my head's spinning. I'm not even sure which way to go because we have so much to talk about. So, you know what? I'm going to start and please jump in at any point in time. This is, it's not a particular question to anyone, but I'm going to direct first over, to Wendy, just because I want to understand a little bit more the psychology behind sales call reluctance or call reluctance. Is it sales reluctance or call reluctance?
Well, it's sales call reluctance. So the psychology is call reluctance is a fear. So a fear of initiating contact with potential buyers. And my definition of fear is it's a mental response to a perceived threat. So think about if you have something to offer and you really feel you're solving their problem for a profit, you must initiate a contact with them. And there are 16 different identified fears that keep people from asking. For example, if somebody is intimidated by an upscale clientele, then they have social self-consciousness call reluctance. So they will not prospect at higher levels. So it's a fear. And the good news is people can overcome it. For 20 years now, I've been working with salespeople. And so many people say, well, don't all salespeople have call reluctance? And not really. However, sometimes it hits people. So you might have a seasoned pro who is just doing really, really well, and something happens, and all of a sudden they experience call reluctance where they're just afraid to pick up that phone, walk in that door, knock on that door, go to the networking event, and it can hit them, and it can even threaten their career. It doesn't have to be that way. Call reluctance is so unnecessary if people really understand there is a solution.
So would you say that fear is an overriding emotion then behind the call reluctance?
Yes, it is a fear. And see, here's what people have is they want to achieve their goals. And that is their intention to achieve their goals. Well, they can have an underlying conflicting intention that overrides the desire to achieve their goals. So that's why the coaching around the call reluctance is so important, because we're able to calm those conflicting intentions that are at fight with each other and really work people through that in a way that they just become comfortable and courageous. They believe in what they're doing. They believe it's of service to their prospect. And at the end of the day, it's serving them too, right? So sales is what makes the world go around.
Yeah, absolutely. So Wendy, you've been in sales forever, and I have never experienced a fearful attitude from you, I will say. So speak to a little bit to that, and how if you do get that call reluctance, or if you have in your past with real estate and whatnot, what are the things that you've been able to do to overcome that?
Yeah, well, and you know, fear, I think, stops people from most anything that they do. And we all have to realize that most of the time the fear is not real. It's just a story in our head about what we think is going to happen, or it's fear of what's going to happen to us again. You know, I think what Connie was saying about call reluctance, what I find as I coach people is that, you know, they're very excited about what they're doing. They are excited about their product and all of that stuff. And they make a phone call making with an assumption that this person's going to be just as excited as they are. And then when that person rejects them, now the wind's been taken out of their sail. And so the next call that they make, they bring that feeling with them because they were so deflated. And so what I tell people is, you know, one, don't bring your past with you. Don't assume that each call is going to be like the last one, because that really messes you up. So you want to have the exact same enthusiasm each time. And then, you know, don't have an expectation, because we're always disappointed with an expectation, because expectations aren't real. It's what we've made up about what we think is going to happen. So if you don't have an expectation, if you're really coming at it from a place of, well, they're going to say no, yes, maybe, hang up on you, whatever it is, then it makes it a lot easier. And if you can have enthusiasm, what I believe is it will attract that on the other end with the person that you're speaking with, because they will feel that. If you have reluctance, then they feel that reluctance, right? It's kind of like when they say animals can smell fear. Well, our prospects can smell fear. And if they smell that fear and they don't feel that we're confident, then maybe they're not confident in us. Maybe they're not confident in our product, because we don't come to the table with that enthusiasm and confidence. So what I like to coach people is keep your eye on the prize, focus on why it is that you're doing what you're doing in the first place, and be excited. If you study any successful business person in history, all of them went through rejection. You know, it's rejection that gives us that feeling and creates that fear inside of us. And I think that if you study those stories, you can really put yourself in that situation and realize, you know what, it's not me. It's not about me. It's just normal. It's normal what happens to people when they are putting themselves out there in that way of, you know, getting customers or recruiting or whatever it is that they're doing.
So Wendy, you know, it's interesting when you bring up the rejection, and I'd like to take it a little bit further, is that when we reach out to someone and they choose to say no, we can make it mean that they rejected us. However, in reality, it just wasn't the right time. We weren't in alignment with the right timing for them. And so I really go further in saying that nobody can reject you unless you are rejecting you. And so many salespeople have role rejection call reluctance, where they're actually ashamed that they're in sales and coming to the direct sales, because I was in a direct sales company many years ago. And it is something where people reach out and somebody says no, but to really build the confidence, they said no to my message. It wasn't no to me. So they don't take a personal hit. And I'm curious what your thoughts are around that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The people make, you know, we make everything mean something about us. Everything that people say, we make it mean something. And For sure. I think I coach my team all the time. You know, I have an organization all over the world, and it's interesting because everybody's different. Everybody responds different to things. And I do coach people and say, listen, you know, go for no, be excited about no, because when you are out there prospecting, you're really looking for a decision, and no is a decision. And just like you said, Connie, it's all about timing. It has nothing to do with us, has nothing to do with anything other than that person. The timing is not right for them in that moment. And so I always say no is not a no forever. And no is a decision. So when you're talking to people, get excited when people tell you no, because you got a decision and you can move on to the next person, you know, rather than get caught up in what it means and why they said no. And then sometimes what happens is we really turn people off because they say no and we keep talking about it, you know, but they said no because we might see something for them that they don't see for themselves. And so we get crazy trying to explain it to them or convince them versus just really, I believe there's amateurs, there's professionals, and there's elite. And I think the elite in sales are able to take that no and just say, okay, great, thank you. And they can put them on a no's list, you know, in their journal and have a list of no's and move on and follow up with them later. So you're absolutely right. The meaning that people make the word no mean can really paralyze them. And it can really, unfortunately, steal a huge opportunity for them because they take that such to heart so much.
I think that's kind of going off the old saying, you can have 1,000 people say no to you, but one person that says yes to can change your whole life. I use that in my business. And I've, like I said, the people that I work with, I have a mentorship group. I tell that all the time because they'll go prospecting into businesses and they'll have so many people say, nope, not interested in marketing, things like that. But one person can give you that opportunity. And so it's a great opportunity for people.
Yeah, I used to say that, you know, you have to get through so many no's to get the yes. And when I'd get the no, I'd like to check that one off. It's like, you know, okay, that's one more out of the way.
Well, and that's when it comes down to really having good scripting and to be able to have an entree into having a conversation. And what I teach my clients is, no matter what it is that they're selling, is to be able to ask the prospect, so how much focus and attention do you put on? And Wendy, where you would like, how much focus and attention would you put on having a side hustle, making some money outside of your job, and really asking people, you know, how much focus and attention do you put on prospecting? And then that opens the door to a conversation. And so it's a level of sophistication and also having some really 21st century scripting in order to start a conversation.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Connie. I think you've got to give people scripting. Any big business has scripts, you know, that's all about language and what you're saying to people. And then I think the other thing that's huge that you brought up is that it's all about asking questions. You know, communication is not about speaking. It's about listening. And so the people that are, in my opinion, the best in the industry of either sales or recruiting or prospecting, or even in life in general, in relationships, are people that can ask great questions. Because when you can ask people questions, you can understand what it is that they want. And, you know, one of my mentors said, you know, what radio station is everyone tuned into? And unfortunately, it's not this one. It's called WIIFM. What's in it for me? That's the radio station that everyone is tuned into. So if you can ask people great questions, then you know what to say, and then you know how to solve what it is they want to solve. You know, in my business, I'm giving people an avenue to create another stream of income. I'm giving them an avenue maybe to change their whole life. You know, my background was real estate and I did well in real estate, but in traditional business, the more money you make, the more time it takes. And so I was working 7 days a week with no end in sight. And it's kind of the trap of, oh, I love making all this money, but I don't like my lifestyle. And so what I do is I give people an opportunity to maybe create an exit strategy from what it is that they're doing when they have to think forward, you know, where will I be 3 to 5 years from now if I keep doing what I'm doing? And if I'm okay with that answer, then keep doing what you're doing. But if you're not okay with that answer, then we have to explore what else you could do. So I think by asking great questions, you understand what it is that people want, and then you're able to see how your product or service or, you know, business can help them solve their problems, because it's all about what that other person wants. And so I think it's imperative to be someone who's asking questions versus someone who's just talking.
Yes. And that's what happens when we're so excited about telling people. And I was coaching a gentleman yesterday. He has 74 years old. He just sold his CPA practice. He wants to go in financial services. And he's built his whole CPA practice from just referrals and word of mouth. And he actually believed that selling is convincing people to do something, like twisting their arm up around their back to convince them. And it's just really looking at what Wendy, you just said, it's solving people's problems for a profit. That's my definition of sales. And our prospects, they're looking for a solution. They're looking for somebody to guide them through. They're looking for a plan and a process. They're looking to avoid the failure, and they're looking to be successful. And so when a salesperson comes at that and says, okay, my role here is to be a guide for somebody, I've got some authority here, and I also have some empathy from where these people are. If people, salespeople, can get the role defined in their mind of who exactly are they here, because salespeople are not the hero. The prospect is the hero, right? And the prospect feels vulnerable. So when we can really have that empathy and asking questions, then that elevates the trust level. And so that's when the conversation gets rich in order to move it forward, or to be able to say it's just not the right time.
And I think you can set yourself apart from the masses. And that's why you've got people that are in the top 1-2% of all salespeople in the world. And that's because they really are about serving other people. There's a big difference between self-serving conversations and sales versus just truly authentically wanting to serve other people can take you so much further.
And I have to, I love what I'm hearing here, because my opinion of sales is so much different than what my teaching process has been earlier on. So my background primarily is pharmaceuticals. They have a teaching platform, which is, I'm sorry for those pharmaceutical people out there that are listening to me, but I don't think it's effective, because it's much like what you were describing, kind of about, you know, the arm twisting and whatnot. And you know, I had managers who said, don't leave the office until you get that commitment that they're going to, you know, write that drag. Well, to me, it is about solving problems. And it's about developing the relationship so that you get the trust, because you're not going to understand how to solve the problem if you're not developing that relationship, having rich conversation, and then, you know, moving forward at whatever pace it takes. That's where I found my success, was in the building the relationship first.
Yes, for sure. The only thing is, sometimes salespeople are all about the relationship and they're not about moving the conversation forward. And we call that, there's a type of call reluctance, that they're too nice to close the deal. So they're building the relationships. I always kid them and I say, do you ever get a check? And out in the left-hand corner, it says friendship bonus. And to be able to, that personality, there's a personality predisposition, you know, the relationships, and close the sale, and then you can develop the relationship. But there's a lot of different complexities in some sales, or one call closes and sometimes takes months and months and sometimes 2 or 3 years. But in the relationship is always adding value. every single conversation. How can we add value? What can we do so that they start aligning? Oh, okay, this person is here to truly care for me.
I love that. My mind right now is kind of revisiting back on some of those years when I've been in that sales position. And you're right, I can be very guilty of the letting the relationship go on too long without making that close. And so I think it's really understanding how to balance all those different components that goes into really a sales call.
Yes, and that's what formulas are required, right? I have a formula for people to follow and they memorize it. And some go, oh my gosh, it just organically unfolded. But guess what? It was going back to the salesperson's asking the questions and listening. And that's the key here, to have that good listening. And using the words that the prospect is saying also. But at the end of the day, there are formulas, there are scripts, but how authentic is the salesperson in delivering them?
I also think it's preparation. You know, we role play a lot in our business. We do a lot of role playing with each other, from the invitation to the close, to what questions you might get, how do you respond? Because so many people get nervous when they're on the spot, but you know, confidence comes from knowing what you're doing. And so if someone's scared, it's only because they're not confident in the skills. And so if you can be prepared ahead of time on what you're going to ask and how you're going to respond to things and all that, that changes everything. You know, the saying of, if you're not preparing, then you're preparing to fail, because you have to be prepared. So I think in anything, it is preparation of knowing what you're going to say and how you're going to respond. That way, when you're in the thick of it, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, so preparation, well, with anything we do, whether you're talking about an athlete or any particular situation, preparation is really, truly key. So Is that a little bit what you get yourself involved with, Connie, as a preparation? Or is that really the job of the individual to prepare their product knowledge, their service knowledge?
Yes. Well, remembering that I only work with people basically in the prospecting part, right?
Okay.
And so they can over-prepare there, where there's never enough scripting for them. But once they land that appointment, is prepare, 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 and have it begin with the end in mind. Because so many salespeople, they work their hearts out to get in front of a prospect, and then they wing it. They walk in there and they just like, they do not have a process as they are sitting down with a prospect. So again, it's teaching in a way that they know. And what I teach is, you know, when you knew we were going to meet today, what is it that you wanted to come out of our conversation? And another tip for salespeople, always ask, how much time did you set aside for us to meet? Because the prospect could say 20 minutes, and maybe the salesperson was thinking they had a whole hour. And so there are different things there. And Wendy, I so love the fact that you're sharing that you're role playing with your people, because that's where I have noticed the success, where salespeople, they role play with each other before they start their prospecting, and they role play in the areas where they just feel a little glitch, and they just keep over and over and over, and it gets better. So role play is absolutely vital.
That's something that was a big part of pharmaceuticals, and you know, there's a love hate there because, you know, we all rolled our eyes when it came to role play time, but I do understand the value of it, and I can appreciate that.
Well, we actually video and audio the role plays so that people can go back. It's like the simulator. A lot of these huge companies have salespeople in a sales simulator. Yeah. And so when they can see themselves and hear themselves in a role play, the chances of their success skyrockets, because now they've witnessed it and they realize it. So watching the videotape and listening to the audio is very powerful.
Yeah,
you feel your energy, right? When you listen to yourself on a recording, you're like, oh, I thought I sounded excited, but apparently I don't. So it's such a big deal to role play. We also have people do mirror work, because if you've never done mirror work before, you realize that you're the hardest person to sell. It's really hard to stand in front of a mirror and have that conversation with yourself. It's weird. If you've never tried it, you should try it. It's very, very powerful. The most powerful people in the world have all done mirror work, because it's kind of, you know, it just takes it to the next level for sure. And I think in everything, you know, in my business, we're not really in sales, but we are in the people business, which is, you know, part and parcel to that, because you have to know how to be with people and how to ask questions and how to listen and how to serve other people. And, you know, I think that you have to think about, what is it that I'm doing that can help that person? Again, it's about serving them. So if you know that going in, and I always set my intention, you know, I train in front of thousands of people on stage and do all sorts of different things and different trainings. And one thing that I've learned, and this really works well in the arena of meeting with clients and prospects, is set your intention before you go in. That way you don't forget anything. So you want to say, okay, what do I want to have happen when I meet with this person? Or like when I train on stage, what do I want to make sure I help people with? What do I want to move them into action with? How do I want to leave them feeling? How do I want them to feel when I leave the room or when I leave the stage? So when you set your intention up front in anything, it's interesting because you'll naturally do what needs to be done in that appointment or meeting or setting, because you've set the intention ahead of time. Just like Connie just said it, you know, begin with the end in mind, really can dramatically change your results.
That's all about preparedness, right?
Yeah.
Because you're preparing yourself and exactly, and you're role playing in your mind, you know, what that sales call is going to look like, or what that sit down with that person is going to look like from start to finish.
Well, and I worked with some people in the pharmaceutical sales, and we worked around pre-planning the event, actually visualizing the entire interaction before you ever walk in the door. So pre-play the event. And I believe if salespeople would just slow down and do that, they just would skyrocket to success. And it's just that calming, centered approach. And that's where mindfulness comes in. Before you go into an appointment, get yourself together and get there early, because I think that that's another thing, is that with traffic and everything else and people, is leave 15 minutes before you think you need to. Your stress level will be down and you'll be able to walk into that meeting with calm confidence. But if you're rushing in, you are not serving yourself. And that's a tough one for salespeople that are running from appointment to appointment.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's two other things that are paramount. One is being unattached. You have to just be unattached to whether they say no, yes, whatever. You've got to really be unattached to that. And what's interesting is when you can be unattached, you'll end up getting more sales, because people follow strength, not weakness. There's something in, you know, when you chase something, it runs. And so there's something about having that unattached way about you that makes people go, oh, like, cause you, meaning you don't care if they do it or not, not in an I don't care about you way, just in a whatever you decide is fine with me kind of a way. And I think the other thing is, you've got to really look at, you want to spend 1 minute with 100 people, not 100 minutes with one. You've got to just move on quickly. You know, there's plenty of people out there. There's plenty of people to talk to, and people spend way too much time with one person, too much energy, too much time. And I think they're it's a waste of time. I think 1 minute with 100 people, not 100 minutes with one, is a good motto.
Very true. I want to kind of shift this just a little bit. This one speaks right to my heart, because I was in sales for a period of time where it was all about making the phone call and getting the person on the call. Still come across that, but I'm going to address this to Connie first, and that people don't pick up their phone sometimes anymore. You know, they see there's not a name attached to a phone number, or they see the same phone number call again and again, or, you know, they're not going to answer a voicemail back. What do you tell your people about that? It's a real true frustration out there.
Well, it is. And think about how many emails have you received today, Michelle?
Way too many.
So let's just say 200. Is that about right?
That's a good number.
Okay. So how many voicemails have you received today?
Almost none.
Okay. So you got to fall in love with voicemail. But you have to, again, have a formula with your voicemail. It has to be friendly. It has to be upbeat. It has to be less than 30 seconds. It has to have a call to action. Because I learned this from a very top producer. I came in my office and I had like 7 voicemails. And he was the 7th. And he said, Connie, call me back at your earliest convenience. I swear, I'm like not hypnotized. I called him first out of all those 7 because he gave me a directive. And yes, I do believe that voicemail is, you got to fall in love with it. Is it going to work every time? No. And I experiment with it. And there are people who are saying 10, 20. I'm like, But I mean, 4 to 5, but then use email also if you have an email for that individual. And believe it or not, texting works too. If you have had a contact with that person, so this is not just a cold contact, right? But I have closed sales by texting somebody when they weren't on answering voicemail or email. And I've been able to go there. So yes, it is a challenge. And people still will look at the voicemails. They'll listen to the voicemails. And if you're friendly, I mean, I've had somebody call me like 4 or 5 times and it was a recruiter. I didn't need him, but it was so friendly every time. And I just called him. I said, hey, you know what? You're doing good, but I just am not a prospect for you. He goes, okay. So, but, you know, it's interesting and it's fun. So there is no 100% say this is going to work for you all the time because there's no such thing. But the more curious, the more friendly you are. And when you pick up the phone, if you have that just intention, I mean, I tell myself all day long, everything works out for me, right? And just have that kind of intention, then It just life goes better and it just works better. So Wendy, what are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, one, we have to embrace the times we're in, right? We can't fight it. And I coach all my people, set up your appointments with a text first. Yep. You know, I'm even one to text more than I would get on the phone because it's quicker. It's more efficient. Everyone's busy. So we coach to set up your calls and appointments with a text first. Now, we always want to get on the phone because that's where the energy is. And we can have that energy with someone, but we can set up the call with a text, you know, and make it curious. Hey, I need to talk to you right away. Let me know when I can call you and then get on the phone. And, but yeah, not being afraid of just, it's 2019. People don't want to answer their phone, especially if you're calling a young person, they think they're in trouble if their phone rings. So, you know, I think that, setting up calls with texting, not being, you know, making sure do you text in a way that, is energetic and fun. I think that what you said, Connie, about curiosity is a big deal. You know, you don't want to give all your information over that voicemail or over that text messages because curiosity is what's going to create someone to call you back. But I think people appreciate the efficiency of texting. I think they appreciate getting appointments scheduled that way. And I found now too, you know, we do offer commercial services. And so I found that when we are meeting with some of those clients, you know, they don't really want to sit down and have a meeting. You know, the old school sales way of, oh, let me take you for coffee and let's get to know each other. As much as we want to create relationship with people, people are funny today. They don't necessarily want to take all that time. You know, they want it to be quick and efficient. So I think the people that win are the people that can get in there and get out. And these people feel like, okay, That was painless. It didn't take very long. That was fun. That was easy. So I think, you know, people are just, it's funny. Everyone wants things fast, really fast.
Well, I think you're exactly right. You know, in marketing, we deal with it all the time to where when we get leads for clients, they call one time and they don't answer. And they're like, well, that's done, right? They didn't answer. Yeah. They sent an email. No one answered. And I'm like, look, you got to call. Did you leave a voicemail? Did you leave a text? No, I just called them. Okay. Yeah. Well, and I tell everyone, I'm like, look, when you call, sometimes you got to call. I mean, there's, I don't know if you've heard of Constant Contact, but Constant Contact probably called me once a week and was so efficient, left voicemails and text messages. I was so bothered by it to the point that I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to sign up for it. Right. So it was something to where I tell every one of my clients, I'm like, you either got to hire a salesperson or you got it all the time. Like, you got to call, leave a voicemail, and then send a text message as well, and then follow up. But too many people, and that's a problem in marketing when it comes to clients, you got to coach them on how, when you get a lead and things like that, how do you close them? How do you approach them? Because a lot of people today want it so easy to where they're handed it and they think that calling one time or sending one email, they don't respond, it's over, right? Which it's not the case. People are super busy and you got to keep persistent on them.
Yeah. And I think persistence is the key word, and people respect that. You know, people want to do business with people that are on top of it. And I think being persistent is important. I do a big training for my organization and I tell them, be the butterfly, not the mosquito. And I got it out of a great book, and anyone can go on to my Pinterest and look at every book I've ever read, because this is not anything that I came up with on my own. I've learned it from other people, but you know, be the butterfly, not the mosquito, because fortune is in the follow-up. And if you look at statistics in sales, it's usually not until what, like the 10th, 11th, 12th touch that you actually close business. And most people aren't willing to wait that long because, to Connie's earlier point, they make it mean something if someone hasn't responded to them, when maybe they just didn't get your message. Maybe they lost their phone. You know, something could have happened. But being the butterfly versus the mosquito just means that, you know, a butterfly and a mosquito are both considered pests in the, you know, in technical terms, they are a pest. But what do you do when a mosquito is flying around you? You want to kill it, smash it, you know, driving you crazy. But when that butterfly is flying around you, you're like, oh, look how nice, how fun, how light. And so you want to be follow-up crazy, but be the butterfly in your follow-up. Make it fun. So when I'm following up with people, you know, I'm just making it fun. I'm checking in on them. I'm never assuming that they're blowing me off. I'm always assuming that, oh, I'm guessing you've been busy, or I hope everything's okay, trying to get in touch with you, whatever it is. But people, they want persistence. You know, I've had people a lot in my organization say, you know what, the reason I'm getting started with you is because I know that you've got my back, because you're persistent and you've never given up on me. Even when it's gone, even when you've texted me 4, 5, 6 times and I've never responded, here she comes again, reaching out to me, because I don't want to give up on people until someone actually says no. Then they're not a no, they're just busy or they've got things going on. So I think the persistent person wins.
Yes. And sometimes people don't want to tell us no. And so we have to be able to say, one gentleman, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you think that you and I will ever do business? He goes, it would be a 2. I said, okay, I'm going to take you off my list. He goes, thank you. And so it was okay. And there's a really top sales producer in the insurance industry, and he's got the best line. He said, where he'll follow through. And then he'll say, do you think you and I will ever do business in this lifetime? And he said, people just start laughing, say, hey, come on over, Randy, let's talk. So, you know, there's a different ways to go about it. And so with that, follow through is so important. And you know what, Michelle, really looking at LinkedIn, I have somebody who has reached out to me on LinkedIn. I am interested, but I have been so busy, and he is just so good. And it is going to be fascinating, because I do have a level of interest. And what I'm seeing right now, even our warm prospects are busy, crazy busy. And this is powerfully busy. And so even warm prospects are not saying, let's talk right now. So I think that we need to be aware of that too, in before we nick somebody off our list.
I couldn't agree more. And I also think that I've become a
big proponent of LinkedIn, mostly through Jacob, in convincing me what a great platform it is. And, you know, I'm really starting to roll with some business because it's an easy, quick, and it's not LinkedIn, but I'll say with Wendy, we communicate an awful lot through Messenger because it is so quick and easy. Checking in. Hi, what's going on? You know, and it's an easy way to get back to. So I think we need to, again, to your point, Wendy, you know, we have to love the times we're in and learn how to adapt to them, but not lose sight of the real people connection, the phone calls and the one-on-ones, because they play a big part in it all, too. 45 minutes in, these things go so fast, I find it hard to believe. I want to make sure I get a couple of things in before we're going to need to wrap up. One thing I wanted to ask you, Wendy, is we've talked a little bit about your great mind shift, and kind of give me a little bit of a, or give us just a little synopsis of sort of when and how that all occurred for you.
Well, I think, you know, my whole life, I've always been the type of person that we live in a world where people tell us we can't, right? Everyone looks at why things won't work, why they can't do it. You know, there's just our brains are wired to go that negative direction. And my whole life, I've always thought, well, why can't I do it? You know, and I've always looked at if other people are doing it, why couldn't I do it? And, you know, when I got into real estate, my whole family, oh, you can't, you know, it's going to be hard. It's too competitive, this, that, and the other. And I thought, I don't know. If other people did it, why can't I do it? Why can't I learn what to do? So I think, you know, having the belief in yourself and the fact that you can't say that you can't do it if someone else has done it. Now, if you're inventing something that's never been invented ever in the history of the world, well, then, you know, you're up against it. But if you're doing something and you want to go do something that other people have accomplished that are no different than you, then you have to have a mindset of I can do it. And you have to, and I think Connie kind of touched on this language earlier, is you have to speak it into existence. I can, I am. So when I think my biggest mind shift was just realizing that my opinion is the only one that matters. You know, and especially if people outside of you are giving you opinions and they're not really qualified to give you an opinion on whatever it is that you're doing. And so I think you've got to have a mindset of looking for ways that things will work, not ever looking at what you're doing wrong, looking at what you can do better. You can say, I have never been able to do X until now. Add the words until now. And open up possibilities, because truly anyone can do anything that they want to do, period. End of story. It's all about growing yourself as a person and just keeping your mind focused on what it is that you want. You know, I read something just a couple of days ago and it said, is it actually written down somewhere that you can't do XYZ? And it's like, no, that is not in writing. It's in writing in my brain, but it's not actually in writing. And so my whole thing for people, you know, now that I've built a global business and created an incredible lifestyle of freedom for myself and my family, it's really now for me about helping other people do the same. You know, if I could put people's heads on my shoulders for 5 minutes, they would freak out at the peace of mind that I have, not only just around time and finances, but just around life and things being easy. And that little voice in my head is not chattering at me 24/7 about nonsense. And so I'm really, really inspired to help people have that mind shift, because it's incredible. It's incredible. And there's no one that can't have it. It's just that we don't learn how to do it in school. You have to seek it out through other avenues.
That's amazing. Thank you, Wendy. I'm actually going to keep the spotlight on you for just a few minutes, because I'm going to give both of you a chance to really speak to anything that's coming up, anything that's important that you want to share, any contact information, because you've been so generous to share with us your knowledge, your experiences, helpful hints, and everything else. So now the spotlight's on your business. because we're all in business to be successful. So whatever you want to share, Wendy, in about 2 or 3 minutes about how people can get in touch with you and, you know, what you can offer out there for anyone who would be interested in joining up with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And again, Michelle, thank you. Thank you for the invitation to be on this. I love what you're doing with this podcast and the show. And I just think it's great. So we need more people like you doing this. So really appreciate it. And everyone, about my business, you know, I'm growing a global company. I'm currently looking for business partners to partner with. And I'm looking for people who understand business. They want to have another stream of income. They like the idea of it being residual. Our company is getting ready to launch some things that are historical. We're launching a partnership with Best Buy, which is massive. Best Buy did $47 billion in sales last year. We are not announcing ID theft protection. We'll be the first network marketing company in the world to ever launch this service. And this is a service that, you know, the masses don't have yet, but they need. So our other services that we've offered are, you know, cell phone, internet, gas, electricity, security, credit card processing, you know, essential services that every single person on the planet has. But ID theft protection is a service that the masses don't have yet, but it will become as commonplace as car insurance. So this opportunity is really something that could change the financial footprint of your family for generations to come because of the things that we are a part of that normally you have to be a multimillionaire or a billionaire to participate in, things like ID theft, things like the deregulation of energy, things like the wireless business. And so I'm looking for people right now that want to be a part of those things that, you know, we've all missed the boat in certain opportunities in our life. And this is now an opportunity to jump on board something that's going to be unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. We believe we'll do $200 million in our first year. And so definitely looking for people who would be excited about, you know, just growing and learning and, you know, making money from these services, because that's what makes the world go around. And again, thank you so much, Michelle, for allowing me to speak on this today. And Connie and Jacob, so excited to be alongside of you guys. I'm in Toronto, Canada today. A little chilly here, so I appreciate that I could be on via Skype.
Oh, well, it's been delightful. And just real quickly, what's the best way to for people to get in touch with you?
Oh, perfect. Yes. Best way probably is through social media, because I do travel internationally quite a bit. So you can find me. It's Wendy Saunders, and it's WendeeSaunders. And you can find me on Facebook at Wendy Saunders, and you can find me on Instagram at Wendy Saunders. I reply to those messages right away. And be excited to hear and connect with each and every one of you and see how I can be of value to you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I really appreciate it. And Connie, you know, this is just spotlight on you now for whatever you wish to share. I just want to say I had intended to ask you about your revenue generation mastermind group. If this is a good time to mention that, feel free. And also anything else you might have coming up, events, et cetera, and how to contact you.
Yes. Well, thank you. It's been fun today. So thank you. Well, looking at this times right now, I facilitate virtual mastermind groups for salespeople. They're 12 weeks. All my clients work in 12-week increments. We do not set yearly goals. When we set 12-week goals, production goes up 10, 30, 40% because a week becomes a day. And it's on camera once a week, and it's a roadmap to revenue. And we have the 6 steps, and I keep it to 5 to 6 people. And I have a sales mastermind group coming up, and I've been doing this for about 3 years now, and the clients just do so incredibly well in that. And during the week, they work on their business, they generate revenue, because the metric is the revenue, right? And so that's what I'm doing. And I also have an assessment that measures for sales call reluctance. So I sell this assessment throughout the United States and Canada. Don't ever hire a salesperson unless you've assessed them for call reluctance. And it helps in that regard. And If you choose to hire him, you've got a coaching and development tool right there. So you don't have to wait for 3 months to figure out how to develop them. So a lot of exciting things at exceptionalsales.com. And the name of my company, Exceptional Sales, you can talk to me on LinkedIn, Connie Kadansky. I'm the only one, Connie Kadansky. And you know what? If you don't have car reluctance, feel free to give me a call. I'm at 602-997-1101. And yes, I do pick up the phone if I'm sitting there. I don't let it go to voicemail. I look forward to speaking with you. And remember that opportunities are never lost. The ones you miss go to someone else.
Yep, great. Gosh, I love you both. You've been great, great guest, and I want to thank you both for contributing such a great conversation. And Jacob, you need to get yourself in good shape because guess what's going to happen on the next show? You're going to take it over.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Sounds great to me.
But again, I know, yeah, you weren't too best today, and I really appreciate you being here for the moral support and everything else. So, word from our sponsor, of course, as we wrap this up. Rhino Online Strategies and e-creativity will free up your precious and limited time as a business owner to do what you do best, which is running and growing your business. We help you grow your business by partnering with you to identify your content and marketing need and provide you with fresh, innovative, dynamic copy that effectively connects with your market. Our marketing strategies combine customized content with expertise in targeting and reach through social media channel by posting engaging content to target to specific audiences to capture email addresses, build your email list along with analytics to optimize social ads and posts, all which leads to increased customer engagement, a higher conversion rate, and increased sales. And we help empower you to have control of your business and future by amplifying your message and delivering it to the right market. Thanks for listening. This is Michelle and Jacob wishing you a prosperous 2019 and beyond.